Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, can anyone explain the new ban on electronics to and from certain countries? And if you're flying through LAX in the next few months, we have an important update.
Summer's just around the corner and families are going to be traveling in great number, some with very, very small children. At 3:20, Gwen Duncan is here to talk about traveling with infants and babies, and she has some tips to make all of us a little more comfortable, I'm hoping.
If the baby isn't happy, it's a pretty good bet no one within eight rows of the baby is happy. We are starting to see the direction of the new administration in Washington, D.C. may be taking when it comes to protecting consumers. At 3:35, Chris Elliott joins us to dissect what these decisions mean for you, either on the left or on the right.
We save the best for last with a heartwarming story about an airline doing good things. Want to guess which airline? Well, let's just say it didn't surprise me at all. Story at 3:50.
A good Sunday afternoon to our band of loyal listeners, to folks who just happen to have KFBK on their car radio, or those who tried to get a different station on the iHeartRadio app. Wait just a minute or two. Let us make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Sports Leisure Vacation President, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, and supporter of all things great at SLV.
Yeah. I've been there all weekend, so it's the head cook and bottle washer part is kind of applying.
I'm Tom Romano, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. How was... You've been following the Giants. How are the Giants doing, Mr. Spring Training?
Well, the spring training was good. It was hot. It was really hot.
How hot was it?
Well, it was record hot. When the record temperature for the day is 89 and the temperature outside is 95, that kind of indicates that maybe perhaps the climate is a little different than it was a few years ago.
But so your recommendation to those, of course, it's pretty much over with, but those that think about going to spring training,
is go
hats.
Definitely hats, sunscreen, look for seats in the shade, go buy your tickets from somebody who really knows what they're doing, because a lot of the seats, we've talked about this before, a lot of the seats at spring training that are would be good seats normally, you know, down by the dugout or things like that, when it's 95 degrees out, no one wants to sit there because these spring training parks are mostly open to the elements. There's very few seats that are shaded in any way. So it makes it very difficult for 85% of those assembled. So yes, definitely sunscreen and other survival type things would have been good for many of the folks. Of course, we we had seats in the shade, so we were in good shape. But
you smart people.
We had a good time. The Giants, it was fun. Spring training is fun. Baseball is just around the corner. I am headed to Washington, D.C. on tomorrow afternoon.
Mm-hmm. What's the occasion?
The travel industry once a year we've talked about this before, I think, on the show, does a little lobbying effort. And lobbying for travel issues is always interesting because they're generally bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes you're trying to interest It's equally as easy to interest a Republican as it is to interest a Democrat, or equally as uneasy, mm-hmm. On particular issues so that involve tourism and tourism taxes and things of that sort. So, and of course, we are involved in this whole don't let people into the country thing on some level, because if it starts impacting people's desire to come here as travelers because they perceive us as being unfriendly, why then that has an impact on us. Chris Elliott actually is going to talk about that a little bit later on. So I will talk next week about the trip to Washington for a little travel lobbying.
One insider question for you here that you can share with our listeners so that mm-hmm. we can kind of be part of it. Now, do you have to make a, I know in the past you've seen Matsui,
yeah.
Doris, and others. Do you have to make an appointment to see them?
We go as a group, mm-hmm. and we work, three travel entities work with a company in Washington, D.C., which does the scheduling for you.
Got it.
You give them the information, and then they make the scheduling. Like, I just got my schedule earlier today of who I'm meeting and where. So, yes, it's all pre-set up. And in some cases, you get to meet with, if it's someone from the House of Representatives and you are their constituent, in other words, you are in their district, you generally get to meet with that person. They will try to make time for you. But if it's a senator, a state senator, especially in California with such a large population, you're generally going to meet with a staff member who is in charge of the area that you are talking most about, so that they can carry whatever your message is back to the senator and hopefully enlist support for it. So I will give you the rundown next week when I get back. A fascinating time to go to Washington, D.C. with everything that's happening there.
Can't wait to hear the stories when you get back.
There is just nothing like walking the halls of Congress for a day. It doesn't. I will tell you, it doesn't matter what side of the political equation you're on, even if you think politics is full of hooey. This is the system we have in our country, and so it's what we have to live with. And it's proven to be a pretty good system over the years. And it allows people to be, it's representative government. It allows you to go and have your say and hopefully influence the people who make the decision. So anyways, we'll talk some more about that next week. And the cherry blossoms are blooming.
Oh, yes.
In Washington, D.C. I understand they came out in all their glory yesterday.
Hope you're not allergic to that.
I'm hoping to get there and see lots of pictures of cherry blossoms.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, it is the travel news, and Mark has it for us. Mark?
I do have the travel news. That's probably me, huh? Okay, let's see. Where are we? United Kingdom has joined the U.S. as in the laptop ban, and nobody has really come out yet. I keep thinking that at some point we will see, you know, they decided to ban laptops and other large electronic devices. You have to put them in your checked bags if you're coming from certain countries, which this list of countries tends to kind of line up with the travel ban list. Perfectly, but
right.
Generally when something like this happens, it means that somebody has a piece of information that leads them to do this.
But you have to understand, you know, and President Trump has made this clear in the past. You know, why are we telling people what it is that we're going to do and why we're doing it? So there's a possibility that they know, but right. Under the current administration, they may be choosing to not bring it up.
If these things are about national security, I'm okay with that. It kind of looks a little bit punitive, but
yes.
But if there's a real reason for it, I'm 100% okay with that. Look out for loaded airplanes this spring. Not because airplanes are hitting the bottle. 4% more people are flying this spring than flew last spring.
Sure.
That is a huge, 4% may not sound like much, but that is actually a fairly sizable increase. Airfares have been very stable for about 2 years. You can expect that to start changing. I think you're going to see some people who wait for the last minute to buy their summer airline tickets are going to get skewered. Who has the newest planes, or does anybody really care? It turns out that American Airlines has the newest fleet among the big four, and average age of American's planes is 9.8 years, 10.4 for Southwest, 14.4 for United, 16.6 for Delta. As long as planes are not falling out of the sky, I'm not sure why that matters, but if anybody cares, American has the newest planes. The future of Virgin America has been revealed, and Virgin America is basically going to go away, which people in Sacramento won't care too much about that, I don't think.
Are they merging with somebody else?
With Alaska Airlines.
And so they're just gonna, eliminate the brand.
They're going to keep the Alaska thing, but some of the things from Virgin America that people liked, of course, folks in Sacramento wouldn't know too much about this because Virgin America never landed here. But that could go on some of the Alaska flights has to do with some mood lighting and some other things that made the Virgin experience feel a little bit better to the customers. So Alaska is going to adopt some of those things into, and of course, Alaska's expanding their service. They've started 3 trips a day to San Diego. I've noticed the San Diego fare came down $20 on Southwest because now they have competition. Competition is generally good when it comes to airlines. So
Flying
to San Diego, you now have an option. LAX, more chaos and confusion is coming to LAX. United has been redoing their terminal there for quite some time. They are just about done. Southwest is just about done with theirs, which means it's time for Delta not only to redo their terminal, but to move from one side of the airport to the other. That's going to come the second week of May. Can you imagine? 21 airlines are going to relocate over a period of 7 days. They're in 3 nights, they're going to move sets of airlines from one side of the airport to the other. Delta's going to relocate to the other side so they will have more room and be closer to the international terminal. And that mean and all of that, and then they will upgrade those terminals, which they say is going to take about 6 years. So, ouch. If you're going to Los Angeles, yeah, and you thought that the delays at LAX were going to get better.
Yeah, and they've been under construction and changes there for at least a couple of years around the airport to begin with.
They have. Airline scales, Chris Elliott says, are not always accurate. Recently, scales in Phoenix, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Seattle have found to be inaccurate. Chris does not say by how much. Perhaps we should ask him that question.
Do you, well, I don't, you know, you don't seem like one that would do this, but how close to that 50 pounds do you ever come?
Not too close, usually. Not too close.
Well, my wife and
some
I.
Some of my travelers do, though, when they're coming
home
like with souvenirs. Yeah, we're like
47 and, you know, 49, and we pushed it.
Yeah. Here's an interesting United Airlines thing. They sent out this thing that says, check-in requirement. Bags must be checked and boarding passes obtained at least 30 minutes prior to scheduled departure. Baggage will not be accepted and advanced seat assignments may be canceled if this condition is not met. Okay, 30 minutes in advance. Mm-hmm. Exception, when departing from Anchorage, Atlanta, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denver, Fort Lauderdale, Honolulu, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Kahului, Kona, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Maui, Miami, Newark, Orange County, Orlando, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Reno, San Francisco, San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa, Washington, D.C., both IAD and National, or Austin, the check-in time for requirement in bags is 45 minutes. So if you're not on that list, yeah. Rules on checked bags and wheelchairs have been delayed. The Department of Transportation, we're going to talk to Chris Elliott about delayed consumer things in just a few minutes. But they are delaying a rule that would have required the airlines to report how many bags are lost and how many wheelchairs are damaged. The rule is being delayed for a year. The airlines are delighted. Consumer people are not so much. And here's a story about great-grandparents getting wheeled onto the wrong flight. This is kind of interesting. On an Allegiant Air flight, these folks, one of them is 96 years old in Fort Lauderdale. They thought they were going to Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got a boarding pass, right? You have to go through a thing, and it has to end. But they did, and the boarding pass malfunctioned and let these two people on the plane. They ended up in Ogdensburg, New York.
No.
instead of Allegiant Air spokesman said there was a boarding pass scanner malfunction, which did not pick up that the couple was boarding the wrong flight. Wow. I wonder how often flights go back from Ogdensburg to Fort Lauderdale, and good luck to those folks.
Yeah, and I guess that's a lesson to be learned. Be sure to check your own boarding pass to make sure you're on the right flight, because the scanner at the gate may not do it for you.
Hey, we have a call. We have somebody on the line here. You remember last week we gave away a couple of tickets to see Hamilton.
I was here to do that.
We are going to do that again today in a little while. And right now, our last week's Hamilton winner is on the line. Matthew.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
All right. Hey, congratulations, Matthew.
Thank you.
How excited were you?
Pretty excited. Not as excited as my wife, though.
Tell us the behind-the-scenes story. I'm on the air, and I announce your name. And where were you, and what was going on in your life?
So I was sitting here at the bed, you know, waiting for you to announce the name, thinking, there's no way in the world I'm going to win this. And then you said my name, and at the time my wife was in the bathroom doing her hair, and she came running out of the bathroom screaming at the top of her lungs. So I tell you what, if you want to keep your wife happy, you just, you know, win Hamilton tickets every week.
Well, all right.
Yes, Matthew, the bill will be in the mail for that little one. Well, you guys have a wonderful time at the show. I know that you've already been in touch with our office and stuff, and they will take care of you. Congratulations. There were over 300 entries at that point. There are now over 350 entries for today's drawing. So congratulations to you and your wife, Matthew.
Right, thank you so much, guys.
Thank
you guys are wonderful.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Matthew.
Thank you, folks. So that's pretty cool. We are going to take a break when we come back, when Duncan is going to join us, and we are going to give away two more Hamilton tickets. And I guess I should say that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. As we mentioned, Hamilton tickets giveaway coming up, and details on how, if you haven't entered yet, you can enter for our last drawing in another week. And that's right here, next on the Travel Guys. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations as we continue on.
We do. What? Gwen Duncan is on the line with us. Good afternoon, Gwen.
Hello there, guys.
Hey,
Sandra.
I introduced you before I did this other thing here, and I need to do this because we need to give this person 10 minutes to call in. So, our Hamilton ticket winner for today, small drum roll in the background, is Joan.
Hold on a second. Wait.
Wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait for
wait,
it.
Wait for wait, it. Wait.
You wait. Got it there, Louise?
Yeah.
No, well, never mind. I'll just do it myself. Here we go.
God. We can live. There you go. Joan Jordan. J-O-R-D-A-N. Joan Jordan is our Hamilton ticket winner for today.
Joan Jordan.
Joan, you have 10 minutes to call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. 916-921-1530 or 800-834-1530 to claim your prize. If we don't hear from Joan, we have a backup winner that we will call, and we have one more set of tickets to give away next week. Go to travelguysradio.com, fill out the entry form there. It's very simple. You can, and then you're eligible to win. All you have to do is listen next week, hear your name, and call in. You could get two tickets to Hamilton.
Enter only one time, and if you've already entered, we carry your name over for the next drawing.
That's right. There's about 350 folks, and they are in for next week. Gwen is here to talk to us a little bit about flying with small children.
Gwen, did you hear the top? Did you hear the top of the show when we promoted?
Yes, I did.
You did. You did. Could you hear the crying babies?
Yeah.
Tom was trying to reenact something that happened to him on an airplane flight.
These very unhappy children were part of a flight from. San Antonio, Texas, or from Sacramento to San Antonio. And, you know, it was a rough flight, a couple of small children. And for whatever the reason, on the way in, boy, they were suffering in pain. Anyway.
It's really sad. A lot of the parents don't go really prepared. And I'm going to give you first some tricks or rules that for traveling with kids that are required by the airlines or TSA. And then I'm going to give you one hint of something you can do for the general passengers in the plane to make it more pleasant for them.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Anyway, basically, I've gotten a lot of questions, especially just recently, really interesting questions. It's going to spark some conversation for even some following Sunday things. I'm sending you a note about that, Mark, for following Sundays. But right now, when we're talking about infants traveling, then the younger the infant, they may need formula and stuff. And it wasn't until 2010 that TSA changed their rules and allowed for more than 3 ounces of a liquid in traveling with an infant, whether it's breast milk or formula. You can travel with greater than 3 ounces, but it cannot be greater amount than what would be necessary just for the length of the trip. And so that's what you can take onto the plane. However, you have to declare it and tell TSA you're bringing it. Then they take it through the X-ray. And like I said, you can carry a limited amount on, but only a limited amount. That's
okay.
On the food stuff. Now, on restraint, they say that if the kid is 40 pounds, under 40 pounds, and is 24 years of age,
Twenty-four months,
yeah, that's what I meant. Hello. And then they could be a lap child. Only thing is the parents should be prepared to take a birth certificate or proof of the kid's age.
If your child weighs less than 40 pounds and is younger than 24 months, they can sit on your lap, which means that you don't buy a seat for them. They literally have to be on your lap the whole time.
That's right. Unless it's an international ticket, and many international airlines, they're going to charge a 10% of an adult ticket for that infant, whether they're in a seat or not.
Okay.
Now, if the kid must be an adult 18 years or older to use it as a lap child.
All right.
Okay, I mean, that's the end. And you have to hold the child securely, but they cannot be underneath your seatbelt.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
All airlines, they say restrain. If you're going to take a restraining seat, which means they're no longer a lap child, they're saying next to you, that seat has to be approved by the TSA, and you call any of the airline that you're going to be traveling on and getting that approval, that the one that you're going to be bringing is going to be acceptable because they're limited on what the requirements are for
so that
seat.
You don't get to the airport and you're using a plane seat, like a car seat, for the child that the airline doesn't approve of. That's important. We got
That's
one
right.
minute, Gwen.
Oh, okay. And then let me see. And then medical rules. I mean, you have to the child, if they're 14 days old or under, Southwest will allow them to travel. If they're under 7 days, some of the Air Canada and United will let them travel. So the airlines.
Wait. You said under those? You mean over those days? Under 14?
No, it says the cutoff for medical. It says airlines require medical releases before clearing very young infants for flight. The age varies among the airlines. Southwest will allow them under 14 days, but the United and Air Canada, under 7 days, they have to have a medical release from the doctor. It's okay to fly.
Okay, so if you have a really, really young child. Okay, really quickly, the tip you had for those of us who are flying with kids?
Yes. A lot of, when they're really infant kids and they're crying like a son of a gun, you can't even put noise counselors on, and you can't understand, you know, you just can't be comfortable. If those parents, they whether they like them or not, they should take a pacifier, because that kid, if they're sucking, they won't be screaming.
That is a listen. That is a simple, but maybe Tom, what we should do is carry a pacifier with us on the plane, you know, just in a sterilized bag that you could offer to the...
Well, I've often felt like sucking on a pacifier with all the screaming going on.
Gwen Duncan, thank you so much for that information. I really do appreciate the pacifier thing is cool, and there's some good information there for parents. We also, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find some links to some things that Gwen has given us to post for you if you are traveling with small children this summer. Thank you to Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. Let's take a break for the news.
Chris Elliott joins us after the news here on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And again, consumer advocate and one of our favorite guests is on the line, Chris Elliott. Welcome, Chris, to another edition of the Travel Guys. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Always good to be with you guys.
Chris, you've been talking a lot recently in at Elliott.org website that you have, and the postings that you send out every day that talk about some of the consumer advocacy that you do, about your concerns about the deregulatory environment our new president is putting forth. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that as it relates to the travel industry and what you see either that's already started or that might be coming, and how this deregulatory environment might affect us in a positive way also.
Well, okay, first of all, I've known you guys for a long time, and we've never really gotten political. So are you sure it's okay to get just a little political here?
Yes, it is.
It is okay. We're not going to have half your audience tuning out immediately.
Yeah, no, that's all right. It's a risk. It's a risk that we take. This relates at this point. It relates to travel. It relates to news, and we need to talk about it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it then. I mean, it's a concern that I've had ever since the election. Actually, before the election, when I was reviewing the candidate platforms and talking about them on my site, Elliott.org. You know, we talk about consumer issues every day there, and so what's happened since the election and since the inauguration is that President Trump has installed a lot of appointees who are openly hostile to any kind of government regulation and are committed to dismantling a lot of regulations that protect consumers. And so that really has made my readership wonder out loud in the comment section and in phone calls to me, you know, what is going to happen here? And just recently, for example, we had a series of meetings with the airline industry and some action on the airline front and the regulatory front, where they suspended a really important rulemaking that would have helped people determine what the actual fare was that they were going to pay. And it's mm-hmm. of deep concern to people. We don't know what's going to happen. We just know that it is now happening. How it's going to play out, that's the real question.
And that first issue that you spoke of, Chris, that was DOT, right? Looking at the how fares are displayed on your computer screen or in print, and to make sure that, especially with this new thing towards bare fares, towards fares where you may have to pay for your seat assignment to put something in the overhead, to get a drink of water on the plane, whatever, is adding a level of confusion for consumers. And I suspect that you and I both know that there are going to be a lot of consumers who are going to buy that cheap fare, not having any clue as to what has happened to them until they get to the airplane.
Absolutely. That's a great explanation of that Department of Transportation rulemaking. It's been in progress for a while now, but now it's suspended or partially suspended. And the fear is that it may never happen. Now, if it doesn't happen, people are going to have a little bit more of a difficult time determining what the actual cost of air transportation is going to be. The folks on the right are saying, that's great. That's a deregulated market. And in a deregulated market, your costs are lower, the cost of operating an airline. That gets passed on to consumers, and everyone is happy. The folks on the left side of the argument say this is a really important consumer protection, and people are being deceived. It's an unfair and deceptive practice that does need to be regulated in order to protect consumers, and that if this rule doesn't happen, many more people will spend more money than they thought they were going to on airline tickets, and that's just flat out wrong. So depending on how you lean politically, those are going to be your positions.
And it sounds to me, Chris, like probably the situation with the FTC looking into, which appeared to be leaning favorably towards perhaps some type of rule that forced resort fees to be included in the cost of a hotel room, which of course would have made resort fees kind of moot, because the reason that they're done the way they are is because of the tax advantages, in part because of the tax advantages it grants the operators of the properties. So if we have seen this already happen on one side, the chances of the FTC coming to consumers' aid and doing something about these resort fees to make them more transparent probably goes out the window too, don't you think?
Oh yeah, that was a real heartbreaker. I mean, just to back up a little, this is the Federal Trade Commission that we're talking about here. Resort fees are those mandatory extras tacked onto your hotel bill after they've quoted an initial price on the hotel. So let's say that you're going to Las Vegas, you get quoted a $79 a night rate. Then at the very end, they say, oh, by the way, there's a mandatory $20 a night resort fee, and it includes all these wonderful things like free Wi-Fi and access to a pool and a gym, and whether you use them or not. So it looked as if the FTC was going to act on it. I had people on the inside telling me it's just a matter of days. And then the election happened, and now it looks like it's probably not going to happen. It looks like, you know, the free market's going to reign. So, again, depending on where you stand, on the right, you're going to say, this is great. We're deregulating an industry. We're allowing the free market to determine what a hotel rate is going to be. Never mind that. At the end of the process, well, actually, on the right, you would say that you're allowed, as long as the full price is displayed at the very end, you're okay. Folks on the left are going to say, no, this is a deceptive practice, just like we were talking about with airlines, and that the government has the obligation to regulate something like this because people are being deceived. They thought they were going to spend $79 a night on their hotel rate, but it's going to be an extra $20 a night. That's flat out wrong, and it should be illegal. So, again, depending on which way you swing politically, you're going to go one way or the other on this.
Our guest, Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate, his goal to empower consumers to solve their service problems and help those who can't.
Chris, we're starting to get reports. The summer season is coming. European tour operators are reporting soft demand for the United States. Some European tour operators have canceled tours. One major operator has shifted. He's seen such tremendous demand for Canada. It's Canada's 150th birthday this summer, so a lot of special events are going on there. The Canadian dollar has been very weak. against other currencies. So in particular, it's a great bargain for U.S. travelers. What are you seeing or hearing, if anything? Are foreign visitors showing any lack of inclination to come to the United States? Because that's the only product that we have a positive balance of trade on is tourism.
Well, if you're talking about outbound travel, you know, Americans going overseas, I think that you're going to see a continuation of what we saw last year, which is after all the terrorism incidents that people were having second thoughts about maybe taking that ballooning trip to Turkey or going to Paris or anywhere in France for that matter. And but if you're talking about inbound travel, I think that it's a little early to say that there's a Trump slump. That's what they're calling it. No, not my words. but this summer, we may actually start seeing much stronger evidence that people are maybe skipping the United States because there's a perception that they may not be welcome here.
And in a funny way, that might benefit U.S. travelers. I know that as the euro value has dropped in recent years, some New York hotels that did a lot of business with Europeans have become more inexpensive for U.S. tour operators. So the one I use, the Marriott Marquis in New York, is a perfect example. So if there are fewer people coming from overseas in a strange way, this might benefit some U.S. travelers. However, it will not benefit people who are in the business of servicing travelers, because if there are fewer travelers, there will be fewer people to service and there will be less money to be made. So, and tourism, I think, is a huge business for this country, in case people didn't know right. that. A lot of people come from over the oceans and over the land and spend a tremendous amount of money in our country. They spend more money here than we spend there.
Well, you know, I just wanted to add that while there may be some short-term benefits to having a slump in tourism, inbound tourism, that over the long term, this is not going to help anyone at all. In the next 2 to 3 years, if this continues, we're going to see some. This is, as you note, our bread and butter. This is a main driver of the American economy. So if we lose our tourists, we're going to lose a lot.
Yes, yes, it is. It is incredibly important. Chris, can we switch gears here just for a second, get a little bit less away from the political subject? It seems to kind of permeate a lot of things that we do in the travel industry these days. But talking about rental cars, why is it that rental car companies have suddenly decided in the last 6 months to a year, gosh, they're just gouging people everywhere? It seems like they're trying to nail people for damage that wasn't done or exaggerated in a way that leads to additional charges. They've become funny about everything. Is it desperation on the car rental part? Are they on their way out, do you think, because of the shared ride industry that is bumping them pretty seriously?
I'm not sure if they're on their way out, but I think that they are desperate to earn more profits. You know, we've seen a lot of turmoil in the car rental industry, and every time they try to raise rates, they hit up against, you know, that little thing called market demand. Consumers, people like you and me, we actually control the rates. If we don't pay them, then they can't charge them. So we figure out some other way of getting to our destination, maybe a mass transit, maybe a bus or train, maybe Uber, or maybe we have a family member pick us up from the airport. But whatever it is, if the car rental companies are not the only game in town. Now, what they are doing is really a continuation of what they've been doing for the last probably 2 decades. And it's been a slow thing. You know, it started with some ancillary fees. That's what they call them. They're extras that are charged on top of your the car rental rate that you pay. But they've gotten so much more creative about the things that they're charging and the way that they're charging them. And also, the people at the counter are trained now to upsell you on all these items and in a very clever way. I mean, let's just take the example of insurance. The sales tactic now isn't to say, would you like insurance? You'll be protected. The tactic now is to instill doubt. Are you sure you're covered? Are you sure your credit card is covering you? Are you sure your car insurance policy is covering you? And are you sure you're covered for this and that? And our policy does cover you for this and that. So maybe you want to buy it. Never mind the fact that it's going to add $15, $20 a day to the cost of your rental car, but you'll be protected. And that's how they get you. They get you by instilling doubt. So one of the ways that you can protect yourself is to make sure you know if you're covered and what your coverage is. So go to your credit card that you're using for the reservation, make sure you know what's covered, and then go to your auto insurance policy and make sure that you know how you're covered as well. And that way they won't be able to try that on you.
And dare I say, if you're renting from a secondary company that you haven't rented from before and you're going to decline their liability insurance, you may need to have your insurance with you, because we've seen more than one report of secondary companies denying people the vehicle when they couldn't prove that they had insurance coverage of their own. So that's kind of a wrinkle that's gone into things here recently that, of course, I tell people on a regular basis to try to avoid secondary car rental companies. If you rent a car and you think you got a good deal, think about the fact that there might be some service element involved there. And as we regularly tell people on this program, if you do rent cars, you really want to be a member of the frequent use program that that rental company has, because it'll save you a lot of time in check-in, particularly in cities like Phoenix and New York and Las Vegas and the like. Chris, one quick plug here for your website, Elliott.org, where folks can go and find every day the best consumer advocacy news, your book, How to Be a Smarter Traveler. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks. Always good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Chris Elliott with some pretty important news there. Listen, our winner did not call in. Our Hamilton winner did not call in.
Our potential winner.
Our potential winner. We go to winner number two.
Potential winner number two is...
If Joyce Baker is listening, you have until the end of the program here to call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. That's Joyce Baker.
Joyce Baker.
921-1530, 800-834-1530. You had a comment about the person who didn't call in. You said, gee, if I'd entered this contest, I'd be listening to the radio.
Yes, and I would have had all my friends make sure that they were listening and had my cell number so that they would call and remind me that
if you'd like to be eligible to win our last two pair of tickets, you go to travelguysradio.com, you fill out the very simple entry form, and you'll be listening to the show next week. We will pull one of those people to win. If Joyce doesn't call us before the end of the show, we will have a pair of tickets to give away on the program to somebody who's listening next week.
There you go.
All righty. We are the Travel Guys. When we come back, we're going to tell you a great little airline story. We have saved the best for last. Tom and Mark on KFBK. All right. We got to get rolling here. We got about 6 minutes to go before the top of the hour. Joyce Baker, if you're listening to the Travel Guys and you entered our Hamilton ticket giveaway, you have a few minutes still to call us and claim your prize. 921-1530 and 800-834-1530 are the numbers for you to call. Where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations? Our California Missions Tour returns to Sacramento today after 6 days of exploring roughly half of the historic missions throughout the state. Our Solvang Santa Barbara group departs tomorrow morning on a trip that travels by coach to Southern California, spends 2 nights in each city, and then flies back home. And that's about it for this week, as our team is preparing to host almost 400 people at our annual spring tour preview day at the KVIE studios next Saturday. There are still a few seats left for the afternoon session if you have not already made your reservations. If you're a mature traveler looking for a terrific travel company, especially if you are a single lady in the 55-75 age range bracket, you should discover Sports Leisure Vacations. You can visit us on the web at sportsleisure.com.
And be listening in the future. I'm going to quiz Mark in regards to his knowledge and experience as a professional tour guide and traveler. Some of the things that we're going to find out is how many miles Mark has traveled in his lifetime, how he goes about picking particular locations to stay and to visit with his travelers, and how he goes about sorting out a hotel to make sure that it doesn't have bed bugs, all that and more ahead. But right now, we've saved the best for last. We're talking about a heartwarming story about an airline doing something good. Mark, what do you got?
This is a lady named Peggy Uli. Cannot thank Southwest Airlines enough after they kicked her off her flight to Columbus. Kind of weird, right? But it was for good reason. She was removed from the plane, and she will never be able to repay the airline for their kindness. Peggy was on a flight from Chicago to Columbus. She was in her seat, plane still on the runway, when all of a sudden the plane turned around and went back to the gate. Peggy was approached and asked to leave the plane. There was no explanation offered. All they told her was to go check in at customer service immediately. "I figured I was on the wrong plane," she said. "The gate agent told me to check in at the desk, and when I did, they told me to call my husband." As it turns out, Peggy's son, who lives in Denver, had been in a serious accident and was in a coma suffering from a head injury. Her husband must have called the airport hoping to catch Peggy before their plane left. Before she had left the desk after getting off the plane, Southwest had already booked her on a nonstop flight to Denver, where her son was, free of charge. She says, they offered a private waiting area, rerouted my luggage, allowed me to board first, and packed a lunch for when I got off the plane in Denver. My luggage was delivered to where I was staying, and I even received a call from Southwest asking how my son was doing. Peggy says her son is still recovering from his injury, but she couldn't be more grateful to the way Southwest Airlines treated her. Even though most companies are focusing on making a big buck these days, it's clear that some still care about their customers.
Wow.
So that is a pretty cool story.
That is. That's great. I'm so proud of you. I was tearing up over here.
And I was trying to get through it, and I'd already read it a couple times, and because I knew that I might not get through it, because the first time I did, I didn't get through it anyways. I want to talk about two great service situations I ran into in the last few days. One has nothing to do with travel. I've shopped at Raley's grocery stores for most of my life. And I went into, you know, when you shop at a full service grocery store as opposed to a not so full service, mm-hmm. like maybe a Walmart or, you know, one of the stores where you're checking all of your stuff out and there's nobody in the store to help you, or, you know, you're on your own. But you go to a place like Raley's, there are other brands that are like that. And if you need something, you hope there'll be somebody there to help you.
Did you find everything you were looking for?
I didn't. And when I said that when I said that to the cashier, and I mentioned, you know, there was some Diet A&W root beer.
That's what they always ask.
I couldn't find Diet A&W root beer, and I never can because the store doesn't carry it, and except in a blue moon. And I mentioned it. He brought the manager over, and they filled out a form, and the guy followed up with me by email the next day and everything. I thought it was really cool that there's still service. And the other one happened to me yesterday with United Airlines. I got a schedule change on my email, and I thought to myself, wow, that's not the schedule that I booked for that flight. So I called up United and I said, gee, you know, thanks for the schedule change, but I show myself as being on an entirely different return set of flights, and I'm traveling with a group of people, so it's kind of important that I'm on those flights. And the gentleman said, well, let me see what I can do. And he was quiet for about 90 seconds, and I said, are you still there? He says, yes, sir. He says, it's all fixed. You're on the flights that you should have been on in the first place. I said, well, you just took my word for it? And he said, sir, when someone calls in who's traveled as much as you have with our airline, and you're very clear about what you need, and it's not going to hurt anybody to do it, I generally take their word for it. And I thought that was just nothing short of completely amazing. So I wish I had that man's phone number so in the future I could call him. You have a good week, Mr. Romano. We are going to talk about destination weddings here next week. So if you are getting married this summer, or you know somebody who is, and they're hauling you off to some place, you might want to be tuned to the Travel Guys.
Also, next week, here in the studio.
In the studio.
Live, because we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
You betcha.
Sacramento's own Rutabaga Boogie Band. That's right, I said it. Rutabaga Boogie Band, live in studio. Mark?
On the Travel Guys next Sunday. Remember, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.